Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete, AM 570 LA Sports. It's the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour, 866-987-2570. Your best 30-second take. Get you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Coming up this hour, 12:30, you will be the smartest person in the room. I guarantee it. Or at least you can try to be. During the 1 o'clock hour, we're going to get into something that happened yesterday, and I took a lot of heat on Twitter about some comments I made on the Lakers and Lonzo Ball. I'm going to explain it.
What did you do, Fred? What did you do?
Well, I thought I said something that made absolute and complete total sense.
I think I was in agreement with you. Maybe.
Well, then why'd I get it?
I don't know.
Because that's the way it works.
It does.
Because we're a team, and I always end up taking it.
You got to take it, Fred. Sometimes you got to take one for the team, baby.
The more I think about it, since we've been doing the show, you've said more things that have upset people than I have. And at the end of it, I'm always the guy that takes the heat. I have no idea why. Since we have started, you have done more to infuriate people, and it's always my fault.
Maybe they think you can take it better than I can, Fred. You've been doing it longer. You got thicker skin.
Let me tell you something. You know? I can't have any more rips in my emotional fabric. All right, so that's coming up at 1 o'clock. Ned Colletti will join us at 12:20. Look, it's not good for the Dodgers. Last night was incredibly disappointing. I'm going to remove Pedro Baez from my Cy Young ballot. You know, life is fluid. Things change. Yesterday I said Pedro Baez picked up the win. That man is on my Cy Young ballot. He's off.
He's off now?
He's off after what happened last night. But really, it doesn't matter who pitches. Nobody is hitting. And the Dodgers find themselves in deep, deep trouble. And I'm not saying that lightly. And I'm not panicking. But boy, when you play Cincinnati, and they're the worst team in baseball, and you still can't hit, you've got real problems. Walker Buehler said something after the game. And I think some people may have misunderstood what he was trying to say. It looks different in print than it does if you hear it. I believe it to be accurate. He said, right now, I've got to pitch better. I can't give up two runs when we only have one. You know? Think about that for 1 second.
Yeah.
You've got a pitcher in the majors, and this guy's a rookie. And very mature. He was on with us the other day. And you've got a pitcher in the major league saying, I can't. I've got to be better. I mean, I can't allow two runs. Not if we only score one. Some people took him to task, thought he should have never said that, and threw his teammates under the bus. I think he was making an accurate statement.
I think he was. And you know, look, if he's a 7-year, 8-year vet, then, yeah, I could see how people could take it that way. Like, he is. He's being sarcastic, and he's throwing his teammates a little bit under the bus for not hitting. But he's a rookie. He's trying to make his own way. And I think he's fully aware of the Dodgers' climate right now. He's aware that they are not hitting and that there's very little room for error with this team right now. So if you do have a one-run lead, you can't give up two runs. And so I think he was just speaking from the heart and speaking honestly about what the situation was and didn't really have any ill will or bad intentions when he said it. So I take him at face value, and I think he's a young kid. He's got a bright future, and I felt for him last night because I thought he pitched well. You know, I watched that game and got into the fifth inning and, you know, had a unbelievable battle with Joey Votto. Votto got the hit, who's a tremendous hitter, by the way. I think he went 8-9 pitches with Votto, and Votto got a single, and then next thing up, Scooter hits a double off the wall, you know. So it was that one mistake that cost him after pitching a great, great game for 5 innings.
And Joey Votto got that hit because he does something the Dodger hitters don't do. Isn't that right?
It was impressive. It was impressive to watch his approach to the plate. You know, we've been saying this for the last few weeks now that, you know, runners in scoring position, move the guy over, fly ball, put the ball in play, and you're still seeing Dodger hitters take these big giant swings like they're trying to hit an 800-foot home run. And you watched Joey Votto last night. Once he got two strikes on him, the crouch went down. He looked like Pete Rose from back in the day. He choked up on the bat, and it was just making contact. He knew the situation in the game. He had a runner at first base. He was just trying to make contact and get the runner over and keep the inning going. And he got a hit after fouling off a number of pitches. And like I said, taking Walker Buehler 8-9 pitches deep, he got a hit to right field. And next thing you know, a double off the wall and a two-run score. So that approach is something hopefully the Dodger hitters took a look at and said, this is how we need to start approaching the game.
Dave Roberts looked beaten last night. After the game, he just looked like he had been in a fight. He looked forlorn last night. And I'll tell you, I'll tell you what's going to turn it around. But first, here's Dave Roberts after last night's game.
I don't know. I usually have an answer. It's been a trend that we've seen all year. Recently, got guys on base, had a chance to break a game open, get a little separation. We haven't been able to come through.
There you go. He doesn't have an answer. There is no answer. But I know the answer.
Uh-oh.
Seriously, I know the answer now. And it's going to be the most unfair thing, but it is the answer. And
before you give that answer, okay. I just want to say something about what Dave Roberts just said. You know, you get to a certain point, if you're, especially if you're a manager or you're a part of a team, that, you know, that narrative that it's early, we're going to get it going, we just need a spark, we just need this, and you keep making excuses and days keep going by and you keep losing the same way, that gets old, and that showed on Dave Roberts' face last night when he after the game when he made those comments. So I feel for him because there's no real answer going forward. There's no. It doesn't feel like there's any light at the end of the tunnel unless you're going to give us the crystal ball like you said you were, Fred.
I'm going to give it to you. It's unfair, and it's wrong, and it may not happen. And I can't even believe it's come to this. But the only answer now for the Dodgers, and baseball is such a long season. You have 25 men on the active roster. Any night, anybody can contribute. They did that last year with the Dodgers. At any moment, anybody can make the difference. It happened last year with the Dodgers. That's no longer the case. This is what has to happen. One thing. If this one thing doesn't happen, they are in serious, serious trouble. And that one thing, not only does Justin Turner have to return, but he has to return with a lightning bolt. He's got to come back, be at full strength, be at full speed, hitting like he did last year, despite coming off a wrist injury, infusing this team with some energy, and leading this team to victory. That's it. It is so incredibly unfair to point at one man and say, buddy, this is like the NBA. Put us all on your shoulders and carry us because that's our only hope. And I'm telling you right now, that's their only
hope. Well, you think about that, what you just said. And first of all, you said put a lightning bolt. He has the lightning bolt. Bring the lightning bolt. Is it like the natural when they put the patches on the sleeves and the lightning bolt for real? But yeah, you know, and I see he's got the beard going. You know, he's growing the beard out. The beard's getting longer. But if there's one guy on this Dodger roster that could handle that type of situation and put the team on his back and be the catalyst to get this thing turned around, it is Justin Turner. It is that guy. He did it last year for us. He did it the year before. He's got the demeanor. He's an impact type of player. Certainly him in the lineup, I think, would inject so much energy and life into a team that needs it desperately.
Think about it. He's the only guy that's not playing, so he's the only guy that can turn it around. Last night, the Dodgers loaded the bases twice early in the game, and basically nothing happens. They cannot move runners around. They cannot score when men are in scoring position. So it really points to only one thing. Because what we're seeing is what we're getting. The one guy that's missing. And the one guy that's missing is Justin Turner. And it is so unfair in baseball to say, this is the guy. Go get him. It's Justin Turner, Rodney. Pure and simple. And if he doesn't come back, as unfair as it is, playing at some incredible level, now I think it's time to worry.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully, you know, he has a good rehab stint and he comes back and is fully healthy because certainly, you know, the Dodgers need him. They don't, you know, they need him now. They don't have time for him to kind of work his way back in and, you know, take 20 to 30 days to kind of get back in shape and in form. They need him to come and have an impact immediately.
All right, so the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question, 866-987-2570. And let's try to dial it down a little bit today. Your best 30-second take will get you a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. Over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, the one-of-a-kind Pizookie dessert. Be it lunch, be it dinner, be it happy hour, you need to be at BJ's. Here's your question. Dial it down and get online. I think Justin Turner's got to perform, or this is really bad. What do you think has to happen? If you're a Dodger fan, you tell us, what do you think has to happen now? What's the one thing? What can turn it around? I mean, Hugo, who listens to the program, said, bring back the witch that did the ritual during the slump last year. All right? I don't think she really performed well for us. She was very entertaining. Don't think it really helped much at that time?
The witch didn't work.
The witch didn't work. The white witch.
The white witch did not work.
But she tried.
Maybe Dancing Granny come back, you know, have a little more impact.
You know, let's play two. Let's bring her back. 866-987-2570. Get online. We'll take your calls. Coming up next, we'll get Ned Colletti's take. We'll sprinkle your calls in. At 12:30, we'll make you the smartest person in the room. And at 1 o'clock, I'm going to get into what happened on Twitter yesterday and our thoughts on Lonzo Ball. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on a Friday on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete. Ned Colletti will join us in a bit. 12:30, you're the smartest person in the room. 1 o'clock. We'll talk about this barrage of hate on Twitter. But the question is, all right, what are you going to do? How do you turn this around? Is there one thing? Are there two things? 30 seconds. And if you dazzle us, you're going to BJ's for $100. Joe in Buena Park, go ahead.
Yeah, Fred, you're right. Justin Turner needs to come back and come back with a spark. Cody Bellinger did it for the Dodgers last year, and it seemed to work out great. But one thing that they don't do, I can't understand, is they don't manufacture runs. When's the last time you've seen the Dodgers drop a sacrifice bunt? When you when they're getting bases loaded multiple times, runners on with one or less outs and not producing anything, it's I think it's more than just the batters not producing. The decision making is off too.
Appreciate the take, thanks, Joe. Look, we said the other day, Rodney, they don't manufacture runs.
No.
Now it worked last year.
Yeah.
Certainly worked last year.
Yeah. When at 6-7 guys hit 20-plus home runs, it was working last year. But now certain things change, and you do. If it's not working the same way, you got to change things up a little bit until you get it going again, and they're not doing it.
Oscar in Pomona, you're on AM 570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Yeah, we do need Justin Turner to come in, help with this lineup, because we're still in that Game 7 mentality that we couldn't hit last year in the World Series, and that seems to just hang over to the season. We can't hit at all. We're not coming up with those clutch hits that we did last year. We're not doing nothing. And maybe Justin Turner coming back, maybe we'll pump up the lineup and we'll eventually start hitting and getting those hits that we're missing now. You know, we need to get out of that Game 7 group from last year. We'll give Seattle.
Went over 30 seconds, Oscar. Sorry. Only 30 seconds.
I know. Folks are passionate, Fred. I don't know. 30 seconds might be tough, but that's the rules, 30 seconds or less. We got a lot of calls, so we got to get them in.
And maybe this will put a smile on somebody's face. Let's give you a grand.
And answer that phone. If you're going to text and try to win $1,000, you got to answer the phone when somebody's calling. I don't know who it is. Maybe a block number, unknown number, but it may be money. Answer the phone.
All right, we're going to keep getting your calls in. Stay there. We will get you in. Let's bring on Ned Colletti now, our insider. Ned, thanks for coming on.
You're welcome, guys.
I made a statement earlier. I want to go forward, then we'll go backwards. I made a statement. I started by saying, this is so incredibly unfair, and I don't see any other way to turn it around. It's all going to be on Justin Turner, and it couldn't be any more unfair. But if he doesn't come back, ignite the club, put some energy into it, and hit the ball, I think they're in trouble.
Well, I don't know if you can put it on one guy. I think that certainly having him back is expected to help that lineup and also help your defense at third base, although your defense has been pretty good. Offense has not obviously been there. It's tough to put it on one guy. And I think last year, as you look at this team, part of Bellinger's success, I thought, a year ago, was that nobody put anything on him. People were able to kind of freely play without the pressure of it's up to me to make a change. Justin Turner hasn't played a game since the middle of March.
I know.
So, you know, to put it all on him, I think, is unfair. I don't think the sport works that way, and I don't think a guy that's missed that time is going to be able to really. I don't think it's fair to do that. I think that the team itself has got to play better. You saw Dave Roberts post game last night. That's probably the most frustrated I've seen him in the 2+ years he's been here.
Now he looked like he'd been hit with a stick. Yeah. He looked really frustrated.
Yeah, and it's, you know, guys are trying, but, you know, it's such an interesting game. The game of baseball is like nothing else because you play it every day. And the good things, you can't wait to get back when you're going good. And when you're going bad, everything gets magnified because you're looking at it day after day after day after day. It's like the, you know, NFL, you could have a bad Sunday, right, Rodney? And you got at least 6-7 days now to regroup and figure it out. But, you know, baseball's not wired that way.
Yeah.
But, and then sometimes, you know, this team is – There's a few things that then need to get better, no doubt, especially the offense.
Yeah, sometimes that's good or bad, having time off in between. But when you don't, and it's going bad in baseball, you got to play the next day, and you got to try to figure it out in a hurry. So that's tough. Hey, Ned, I thought Walker Buehler pitched a really good game for a young guy yesterday. Gave up a couple mistakes. Yep. He made a comment after the game. People are taking, you know, kind of out of context, I think. You know, and I'll say it to you. He said, right now I've got to pitch better. I can't give up two runs when we only have one. Now, I take that as a young kid saying, I understand the moment. I understand that we're not hitting right now. We're not scoring a lot of runs. And if it's a one-run ball game, I got to shut it down the rest of the way. And some people are saying, well, he's kind of throwing teammates under the bus. It's a little arrogant and saying that we got to score more runs. How do you take that from him?
Well, I probably have to have been there and to see him say it and to maybe talk to him afterward to really understand it. You can take it a couple of different ways. You know, he could have just said, hey, you know, our offense is struggling. I got to pitch better. Kind of tells you the same thing. But he's not that type of kid that is going to be arrogant, that's going to throw anybody under the bus, especially at this stage of his career. You know, a lot of things get said out of frustration when a team is scuffling, and a lot of things get said by young players that maybe don't understand the full magnitude. I don't know if this is his case or not. Understand the full magnitude of what they say and the different ways it can be taken. Because you can take a lot of different things a lot of different ways. I think, you know, another way him to say it was, hey, our offense is scuffling. I've got to pitch better. And that kind of tells you the same story without it being quite as perhaps harsh as what you just repeated to me.
Yeah. Ned Coletti with us, AM570 LA Sports, Fred Rogan and Rodney Pete. Ned, you've sat in the big chair. You know how it works. How do you turn this around? Because, again, I'm not a panic guy, and I've never been one, but after what happened last night, you're playing Cincinnati. How? What would you do if you were in the big chair to try and turn this around? Because trying to play out of it isn't working.
That's the only choice you got, but I would go to the leaders on the club one by one and say, where are we at? What are you seeing? Well, I'm seeing, you know, nobody throwing anybody under the bus. Well, I'm seeing we're being impatient at the plate. We're expanding the strike zone against pitchers that really have a tough time throwing strikes. And so we're enlarging our strike zone to really help them out when we really should make them get in the 2-1 counts, 3-1 counts, 2-0 counts to give us the advantage. And I would go to the leaders of the club that you always have these conversations with. My tact was to continually have conversations with everybody. Not every day, but periodically, so that you can check in with three or four guys and say, hey, what are you seeing? What are you thinking? And then say, okay, you're close with so-and-so, right? Yeah, I am. All right, get to him today. Help him calm it down. Help him slow it down, okay? And do it that way and start to get some momentum. There's been three or four games this season that I really thought the momentum had started to shift, that we started to play better. And we were starting to get that knack of how good we could be. But then they go away. And, you know, what's disconcerting to me is there's a couple of things you have to have in order to have a really good season. And the season is still at a younger stage. But you got to win at home. And the Dodgers have been tremendous at home, but not so far this year. And you've also got to win games in your division. Those are the games that count the most. You know, you got to win. The win that they beat Arizona 2 days ago was huge. They lose that game. That's a two-game swing.
Right.
You've got to win the games inside your division. You've got to win the home games. And you also got to win the games against the teams that really, and no disrespect, but they can't play with you. Cincinnati can't play with the Dodgers. San Diego can't play with the Dodgers. Florida can't play with the Dodgers. But everybody's a big league team, and once in a while, you know, they're going to have a good game and maybe pitch a good game. But if you're a 104-win team, and they're probably not a 104-win team, that was historic here, but they're a 90-plus-win team easily. They got to take advantage of the teams that are trying to figure it out. Young pitching is the toughest thing to have a lot of confidence in and to really be successful. It's almost like getting struck by lightning for a young pitcher. Game is long. You got to get, you know, 15 outs, 17 outs, 18 outs. You got to throw strikes. You got to go twice around the order, sometimes touch the order the third time. Young pitchers have a tough time with that. We saw it all last year. The Dodgers feasted on pitching that was not up to par. There were guys trying to get their feet wet and trying to get the experience. That's what this team has got to do. But they saw another one last night. They saw him in San Diego over the weekend. They saw him when Miami was in town. You know, they're going to see him probably the next three nights. So this is where you got to take advantage of it, but you got to be patient with it. And it's a one thing works against the other, or one thing works with the other, depending on how you're going. If you're patient and guys can't pitch, you're going to score a lot of runs. You're going to wait on a pitch. You're going to make them throw a strike. You're going to do damage. You're too anxious. You haven't done well. You're trying to hit a five-run homer. You're trying to carry the club by yourself. Pitcher doesn't have to throw a strike. He can throw the ball on the outside part. He can bounce it in. We saw it the other night when the Farmer bat. Farmer's played well. But, you know, a little anxiety here and there. And you've got a pitcher that really can't make a pitch, throwing one on the outer half that bounces, and he swings and misses and picks him out. So many different things are tied together. But to be able to slow it down and to really take it a pitch by pitch and do not expand your strike zone. Keep it, and it's easy for me to say standing here. But, you know, that's what the good ones do. That's what this team did last year, which was so good. So absolutely terrific. Night after night after night. You could see it. You could see it as a game started unfold. They were going to get to this guy, and they were going to be, you know, pounding the ball all over the yard. But it takes that patience and that concentration to know what you're doing on a pitch-by-pitch basis.
Ned, thanks for jumping on. Always appreciate the insight.
Got a little long-winded, I apologize.
No, all good. It's all good coming from you, Ned.
You nailed it, Ned.
Now, some other folks, Ned, I would cut you off, but Ned, not you, buddy. You're my man.
I'll see you soon, guys.
All right. Take it easy. Thanks, Ned. There goes Ned Coletti. The BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse Lunch Hour question. All right. What needs to be done? What do you do? We're going to sneak a few more calls in now. Let's go. Ken in Riverside, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
You know what? Ned hit the nail right on the head. These batters need to go up there and not try to hit a three-run home run when all we need is a single to play some runs. But most of all, they need to throw the analytics out the window. Quit pinching pennies, open the checkbook, because they let Morrow go because they didn't want to give him the money, and look where our bullpen's at now. I'm out.
All right. Good job. Let's get Eric in Venice. Eric, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Yeah, guys, since that September slide, these guys are 20 games under 500. Last year, last three regular season months of baseball, Kershaw's off. The bullpen psychology needs a lobotomy. Bellinger getting benched for not hustling. The team batting average, the Mendoza line. The runners in scoring position. When you have 10 things wrong with the ship, at what point do we stop trying to patch the holes and fix the sails? And when do we fire the captain? I know he stole second base in the 2-0-3 ALCS, but he also started Yu Darvish in Game 7. We need to fire this guy and get the guy in from Little Big League.
All right, Eric. Well, I got to be honest.
Wow. I'm not throwing him under the bus already.
Yeah, and we can't point the finger at Dave Roberts for a number of reasons, but one of them, and you know it works this way, this is a collective operation. I mean, this is collaborative. Everybody is working. It's not just Dave.
They all meet before, and they talk about the lineup, and they talk about the numbers and what they should do. So it's everybody's in agreement. And so, yeah, Dave Roberts is the focal point because he's the one you see to go out and, you know, remove a pitcher or put somebody in the lineup or pinch hit a runner or a hitter. But it is already decided beforehand. With Farhan and Andrew Friedman and all those guys get together and talk about it.
Let's make somebody the smartest person in the room.
Is it real?
They're real and they're spectacular.
Or fake news.
Fake.
And don't forget the free Movie Friday program with Adam Tickets is back. They want to give you a chance at free movie tickets. Text them now. Text ACTION to ATOM1 for your chance to win. The Adam Tickets app where you can browse movie titles, buy tickets, invite friends, pre-order concessions, all from your phone. And skip the lines. We will get more of the BJ's calls in a moment. But now, to see who the smartest person in the room is, joining us today, legend Nancy by the bathroom. Hello, Nancy.
Hello. How are you?
Legend.
Legend.
For Nancy, where you been? I haven't seen you in a minute.
She's been by the bathroom.
Oh.
That's where she is.
I don't go to the bathroom, Fred?
I don't know, but if you did, you'd see Nancy. Because that's where she hangs out. By the bathroom.
I have much to say about that, but I think the less said, the better.
Thanks, yeah, I agree, because you don't want to talk about people going to the bathroom. Kyle Kuzma says he is rooting against LeBron in the conference finals. Lakers forward Kyle Kuzma has been making the media rounds the last couple of weeks. On Fox Sports 1, he was asked who he predicts to win the Eastern Conference finals. Kuzma said, I am rooting for LeBron not to advance. I want him to rest up. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Oh, does he want him to rest up because he wants him to make a good decision possibly to come to L.A.?
I think that's what he was saying.
Maybe that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go real on that one, Nancy. I'm going real.
It's logical. Does he really want him to come to L.A.? Does he really want him to be here? Or does Kuzma want to be the star? I'll go with you. I'll go real.
Too bad.
It's all fake news.
Oh!
It's phony stuff.
Oh, so we're 50-50. Yeah. I was on it. I should have guessed it.
Tristan Thompson.
A little harsh, Fred, right there. You just kind of, you know, a little tough on us right there.
Well, I don't know if
you
I was being tough.
A little arrogant right there with the way you pushed that button. A little arrogant, right?
No, I didn't think he was arrogant.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Not this time. Maybe the next time, but not this time.
Actually, Nancy, that time I was.
See, I can't be right or wrong here.
Yeah.
It's all fake news.
Fake
it's phony
news.
Stuff.
Phony.
Too bad.
Too bad.
Tristan Thompson blocks Kim Kardashian on social media. Kim Kardashian's already made it clear how she felt about her sister Khloe's baby daddy's cheating scandal. When Kim was asked on Live with Kelly and Ryan whether there was any part of her that was rooting for the two new parents, Kim simply replied with a smile and then continued by saying, "I got blocked on social media and not by Khloe." Nancy by the bathroom, was that real or fake?
I have no idea, but let's hope that it's real.
All right. Well,
you hope it's real.
She hopes it's real.
Oh, that he blocked her. You hope that's real.
Yeah, that's what
I believe that. I believe that. You know, Kim's got a warrior following out there. So I'm sure he did block her. Yes, that's real.
It's real, boy. It's real. It's real, boy.
It's real.
Yes, Nancy. As we like to say when Nancy's here, she's all real.
Yes.
No
yes.
doubt about it.
No doubt, Nancy.
World snooker champion Mark Williams strips naked for press conference after winning thrilling championship. Before the World Snooker Championship, Mark Williams made a promise to conduct his press conference naked should he win the tournament. And he proved a man of his word on Monday night when he strode into the media center wearing only a towel and a sheepish grin. "It's cold in here, isn't it?" he quipped. Rodney, naked snooker, real or fake?
We live in the shock and awe era right now, and I'm believing in snooker, who's, you know, in order for snooker to be noticed or talked about, somebody's got to do something. So I'm saying this is real.
Naked Q had his hand on his cue, Nancy. Real or fake?
I'm sure he had his hand on his cue. I'd say it's real also.
That's right.
Nancy.
How are you on the snooker table, Nancy? Nancy's put a few eight balls in her corner pocket.
Yes. Oh. Go for it.
David Price to give up video game Fortnite after media suggested the game could have caused carpal tunnel syndrome. Boston starter David Price was listed as injured for having carpal tunnel. The Boston media pounced on the idea that Price had injured himself playing video games. After the barrage of questions, Price said he will no longer play Fortnite at the ballpark because he is aware the topic has been a distraction the last couple of days. Nancy, is that real or fake?
I read that, and I think that's real.
Well, if you read it...
Well, I can't remember, you know. Is it real or not real? But I did understand that they were carpal tunnel, playing video games till 12 o'clock every night. Real.
Rodney.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, for it, Rodney.
Look, I got to yell at my kids to go to sleep because they're playing Fortnite every single night. And it's addictive. So, and the fact that he did have carpal tunnel may suggest that he needs to at least do something to change it up. So I'm going to go real on that one.
It's real, boy. It's real.
Woo-hoo!
It's real, boy. It's real.
Yeah.
Shohei Ohtani takes the high road when given a chance to poke the Dodgers. Angel rookie Shohei Ohtani hit the fifth home run of his season last night. He was asked by a reporter with the Daily News, "What do you think about having as many home runs as a part-time hitter as the Dodgers' leading home run hitter, who has been in the lineup every game?" Ohtani, through his interpreter, said no comment. Rodney, is that real or fake?
Yeah, it's such an easy thing to do that, to take a shot at a team that was after you so hard, like the Dodgers. They were in the sweepstakes. But I think he's bigger than that. He's shown that he's bigger than that and more mature than that. So I'm saying it's fake. He didn't. Wait. was it real or fake that he said it or didn't say it?
The story, is it real or fake?
The story is fake. That he took a shot.
No, the story is the story.
What's the story?
The story is Ohtani was asked about the Dodgers and the fact that he had as many home runs as a guy that plays every day for the Dodgers. When asked about the comment, Ohtani, or when asked about it...
Oh, he said no comment. Yeah, he didn't take a shot at the Dodgers. Yeah, that's real. That's a real story.
You're saying that's real?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. Yeah. It's real.
It's real?
It's real.
It's all fake news. Oh! It's phony stuff.
Oh. Made up the whole story. There's no truth to that.
Oh, come on.
He wasn't even asked.
Yes, he was. No. I heard him.
No, you didn't.
Oh.
Just like she read something?
Oh, okay.
I yeah. did read
I heard that.
All right, well, here's the news. You're tied.
We're tied.
And this is the final question.
Oh,
this
Lord.
Is it.
Who plays to win?
Nancy goes first.
Oh.
Rodney always plays to win.
Or tie.
So I don't?
Well, you can win, lose,
if I go opposite.
Yeah,
I got to go opposite.
Right.
But you said so
no
he
what,
always plays
so no
to
matter
win.
What,
are you telling me
opposite.
That I'm not playing to win?
No, what I'm saying
you're
is...
You're going first.
Whatever you say, he'll go the opposite.
Okay, here we go.
Unless he doesn't. Bucks player not down with having a female head coach. Spurs assistant coach Becky Hammon is a candidate to be the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. At a media event in Milwaukee yesterday, center John Henson was asked if he would like playing for a female head coach. Henson said, "I don't know how well that would go over in the locker room." Nancy, for the win. Is that real or fake?
Ooh.
Nancy, it's radio.
I get it. It's time. I'll say real.
You will say it's real.
I will.
He said that. Rodney.
Well, you know I got to go fake, and I'm going to tell you why. Because of the climate nowadays. Come on, you can't say that. Even if you think it, you cannot say that out loud. That is fake.
It's all fake news. It's phony stuff.
Oh, so he beat me.
Yeah.
But that's why once I said real, I understood exactly it had to be fake.
Then why didn't you change to fake?
I didn't know I could. I thought once it was done, it was done.
Nancy.
It's never done.
It's always. Every time I need a win, just come on in.
Oh, boy. God, here we go.
Yeah. What do they say on TNT? Barbecue chicken.
Barbecue chicken.
Nancy, thank you for coming and have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it.
Bye.
All right, let's get back to the BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse lunch hour now. 866-987-2570. See, you'll be rewarded today. If you stayed on hold, you are rewarded. You'll have a chance to win that $100 gift card from BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse. What do the Dodgers need to do? Seamus and Eagle Rock, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
I think the Dodgers need to change their attitude. There's no free lunch, guys. You're either a Dodger or you're hated against the Dodgers. So they need to pull their head out and get things together, get back to the basics, bunting, get the stealing going. And for the pitching, it was the high strikes last year. Let's go for pain in the corners now. Let's go and get Tommy Lasorda in there and fire him up, guys. That's all I got.
Okay, but to be fair, Seamus, I don't know how much firing up Tommy could do at this point.
Yeah.
He's 90 years old.
He's only got so much left in him.
I don't think he's going to sprint out there this time. It's good to have around, but I mean, we got to be serious. He's not going to go out and take somebody out of the game. It's going to take him an hour and a half to get to the mound. I mean, he's 90 years old.
Boy, isn't it amazing how we live in such a, what have you done for me lately, more so than ever nowadays? I mean, you got manager of the year, Dave Roberts from last year, just doing his thing, taking the team to the World Series, and everybody in May wants to fire him.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
What have you done for me lately? Carlos in Claremont, you're on AM570 LA Sports. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, I got it nice and simple. Turner comes back. We don't pressure him. He's going to be the lightning rod that we need like Bellinger was last year. You bring back Billy Ball. More bunting. You got to get those guys across the bases there. And then number three, bring out Roberts. Have him coach third base for a little while. He can always go back to the dugout after a while, but get that motivational push out there. And tonight will be a key. They better tee off of...
Too long. Carlos, good try, though.
You tried to go to a second point.
Yeah,
you got to keep one point.
One more. Michael in Lawndale, you've been holding forever. Go ahead.
very simply, guys, L.A. fans are just buffoons. They all want to fire a coach. They have a problem with their – half their lineups hurt. They're struggling. They had an amazing light rodding year last year. All they need to do is relax, allow Kershaw to come back, give Robert some time. Dustin Turner comes back. They'll be just fine. Take a chill pill. It's going to be okay.
Take a chill pill.
Take a chill pill.
Just chill. You
know, they're not 20 games back.
Simmer down.
They're not 20 games back. I mean, look, you know, and I would say this because I said this earlier about the approach, and we talked about it a little bit, but, man, if, you know, I had a coach one time tell me in playing baseball.
Wait, hold this thought.
Yes, I'll hold it.
Hold the thought. Let's get to it on the other side.
Yes,
well, award BJ's on the other side. I want to get to that because you played. You know. We'll get to that from Rodney. 1 o'clock, we're going to address the people on Twitter that thought one of us was way out of bounds yesterday when talking about Lonzo Ball. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peete on AM 570 LA Sports.
you confuse them for interns, Fred?
What?
You confuse them for interns? You treat them like interns?
Well,
you,
no. They
tell them to bring you coffee?
They just seemed very young to me.
Oh.
That's all.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go on their show next week. I'm going on their show. I have some things to say about their contribution to the lunchtime program here.
They're very honest. I like the way they're very forthright and very honest when they speak about
our show. Well, if you consider it being honest,
yes,
sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Next hour, right off after the top of the hour, we're going to get into this Lonzo Ball thing. We will address it. There seemed to be some confusion, and not on my part, by the way, but I think on the part of some of our listeners. So we will get into that coming up at 1 o'clock. Now, please, you were talking about a story. We were talking about the Dodgers trying to get out of a slump.
Yeah, you know, I played at baseball at USC as well as football, but I had a legendary coach, Rod Dato, who was very close with Tom Lasorda, very, very, you know, won a bunch of championships, great teams. And then Mike Gillespie, a Hall of Famer baseball coach, college, took over for him. And great,
you played for Gillespie, too?
I played for Gillespie as well, a great coach as well, who's retiring this year, by the way. Shout out to Mike Gillespie. But, you know, when hitters are in a slump, they always tell you, bunt your way out of a slump. Bunt your way out of a slump if you're struggling.
Just make contact?
Just make contact. Bunt your way out. Bunt your way out so you can feel it making contact. And then you can kind of get back going and get back in your groove. And it seems like the Dodgers, we've heard a lot of people talk about small ball, just, you know, bunting guys over and just, you know, choking up, getting a base hit. I go back to the Joey Votto at bat. It was such a great at bat because he got two strikes. And he choked up, and he crouched, and he's like, I'm just going to make contact and get a base hit. I'm not trying to hit a 400-foot home run. I'm going to make contact. And I just don't see that from most of the Dodgers lineup in a time where bases are loaded. Runners at first and second or second and third with less than two outs. It is not about the priority of getting them home or moving the runner over. It's about, I'm going to hit a three-run home run and blow this thing wide open, which they did last year in abundance. But it's not working this year, so you got to do something a little bit different.
It seems like they're swinging from their heels.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like at times Cody Bellinger is going to corkscrew himself into the ground. With
right.
That gigantic right. swing. And if he hits it, it's going 400 feet. The problem is, he's not always hitting it. That's
correct.
The problem. And they've not adjusted anything.
Yeah.
And that leads me to think, really, Rodney, maybe philosophically, they're just not going to adjust anything.
Yeah, but sometimes when it's going like this, you got to do something radical to change it up. It's like if you're, even in football, like we go in a game saying, hey, we're going to run the ball down their throat. We're going to run because we got an advantage. And all of a sudden, they put nine guys in the box and you can't run. You got to change it up midstream. And same thing with the Dodgers. Look, they're not getting the production terms of the long ball like they did last year. So you do have to play some small ball. You got to steal bases. You got to move the runner over. You got to put the ball in play. I think when you look at Houston, the way they won last year, yes, they hit some home runs and big hitters, great lineup, but they put the ball in play last year. And I think this whole notion of swing patterns, you know, all the things and elevating the ball and nobody cares about strikeouts anymore has come back to hurt certain teams, and now it's hurting the Dodgers.
Whoa. Yeah. What was that?
I don't know.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, did you guys see the movie Small Ball? I'm sorry. Moneyball?
Yes.
You know, Kevin Youkilis was like the guy that they loved. Kevin Youkilis got on base a lot. He walked.
They forced him to play first base.
Yeah, he couldn't run. He couldn't do anything, but he can get on base.
Right.
This Dodger team is getting on base. There's no problems with getting people on base. I think what the analytics doesn't account for is the clutch hitting. And the clutch hitting when it comes to situational hitting in the game-to-game and in the postseason, right? Those A's teams never went past a certain point. So I guess the analytics part of this whole machine is working and that it's getting people on base. Now we need the guys that can hit the runners in.
Well, that's the thing, too. And Rodney, as an ex-athlete, you can speak to this because fans always talk about make adjustments and, you know, do things differently. And if the game plan isn't working, do something different. But there's also people from the school of thought of, well, this is what we do. So how can you ask, you know, a tiger to change his stripes? And this is what's, yes, they did all of this all of last year. Is it easy for them midstream to start saying, okay, someone that's never bunted before, who's used to hitting 25 home runs, now start bunting?
Yeah, I mean, It is. When you're struggling, yeah. I mean, that's something that you – it's not like they don't work on it in spring training. So they work on it a lot in terms of bunting, situational baseball. They work on it. Now it's a matter of implementing it in a regular season game. And, you know, a lot of times just as a hitter yourself, and I think it's – we've gotten into that culture where strikeouts don't matter. It used to be guys didn't want to strike out. You know, having a bunch of strikeouts was a bad thing. Now, nobody cares about strikeouts. And guys will strike out, you know, 100 times, 150 times, but they hit 30 home runs. It's a great season. And so it's not about just putting the ball in play, moving the runner over anymore. It is about the long ball. What they say, chicks love the long ball. And I think everybody's falling into that trap. And the teams that continue to win and do things well, they know how to do both. And when it doesn't go the way you want it to go or the way the Dodgers did it last year, you got to be able to adjust and do something a little bit different and play that kind of game too. You can't just be one-dimensional.
Well, we'll see if that turns around tonight. Another crack at Cincinnati. Keep in mind, the Dodgers have not won many series this year. They'll try to get on the winning track tonight against the Reds. If they win tonight, they still have a chance to win the series. All right, coming up after the top of the hour break, the assault on Twitter about the thoughts on Lonzo Ball and trading Lonzo Ball. Now, when I explain this to you and we break it down, I'll be hard-pressed not to believe that you will agree with what we have to say. That's coming up. Also, next hour, something that every man listening may need, nutshells.
Just like it sounds. Just so you know, it's just like it sounds.
All right, look, if you've ever been involved in athletics and you've had to wear a cup, would you ever allow someone to take a rifle and shoot you directly in the crotch? I'm not exaggerating. Would your cup protect you from that? Well, we know the man that's created nutshells, and major league teams are ordering it, given what happened to Yadier Molina. He will explain how it works. So this is a good thing, because the next time somebody walks by and yells cup check, at least you'll be prepared. And I'm not talking about Mitch. All right, Jason, who won BJ's?
It took me a while, Fred, but I found a caller that agreed with you. Joe in Buena Park is today's BJ's winner.
Fred, you're right. Justin Turner needs to come back and come back with a spark. Cody Bellinger did it for the Dodgers last year, and it seemed to work out great. The one thing that they don't do, I can't understand, is they don't manufacture runs. When's the last time you've seen the Dodgers drop a sacrifice bunt? When when they're getting bases loaded multiple times, runners on with one or less outs and not producing anything, I think it's more than just the batters not producing. The decision making is off too.
Way to go. You've won a $100 gift card to BJ's Restaurant and Brewhouse, over 140 menu items, 50 craft beers, the one-of-a-kind Pazookie dessert, be it lunch, be it happy hour, be it dinner. This weekend, you need to be at BJ's. I'm going to give you a list of players. It's going to be this simple. This will explain it. I'll give you a list of players. You just tell me if you would trade Lonzo Ball for them. We'll explain. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Fred Rogan and Rodney Peet on AM 570 LA Sports. Kevin, what's coming up at 1:30?
Well, the Dodgers are struggling right now, Fred, so there's a potential trade out there that people believe could end up helping the roster, but they'd have to give up one of their top prospects. We'll talk about that in Good Call, Bad Call.
Okay, and coming up later this half hour, the man that created nutshells. So if you're walking around in somebody else's cup check, This is the guy you want to call. Major league clubs are turning to him after what happened to Yadier Molina. Out for a month after getting nicked with a 102-mile-an-hour pitch.
You know, that wasn't the first time he got nicked, but boy, this was a serious deal that he got nicked. So, yeah, if you got to go to Nutshells, go to Nutshells.
We're doing it as a public service because we're here for the people, and of course,
absolutely,
we're here for the kids. All right, so yesterday we talked about the NBA, the Lakers, and what they might or might not do. If you remember correctly, Kobe Bryant said earlier in the week that he would not in any way, shape, or form alter this Laker team. You have a young core, a young nucleus, let them grow. We realize it takes time, and keep them together. So then the conversation started, but what if you could go out and San Antonio was willing to trade Kawhi Leonard, a sign-and-trade? You wouldn't just rent him for a year, you'd get him. And if you got him, he's yours. That's the premise. And I said, Rodney, you asked me, okay, who would you trade?
Yep.
And I said, I would trade anybody.
You said Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball.
Right. And I think you said, would you trade anybody? I said, yeah.
Everybody's on the table.
Everybody's on the table. Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball. So on Twitter, I'm checking last night at Channel 4, and all of a sudden I'm seeing people going, he's crazy. He can't trade Lonzo Ball. You would never trade Lonzo Ball. Why in the world would you make that decision? You can't. He's out of his mind. And I thought, first of all, wait a minute. Nobody said you can't trade Brandon Ingram.
Yeah.
Nobody. You can't trade Lonzo Ball. Brandon Ingram, fine. Here's the dirty little secret. Brandon Ingram's going to be 35 times the player Lonzo Ball is. Brandon Ingram could become Kevin Durant. And I said, well, move him if you can get Kawhi Leonard. You're going to get better faster, and Kawhi is still young. This, of course, is under the impression that the guy is healthy. So I said, trade him. Nobody said don't trade Brandon Ingram.
Right, right.
Nobody. But no, right. Don't. Oh, my God, you can't there's trade a, Lonzo
there's
Ball.
There's an unbalanced sense of loyalty with some people towards Lonzo Ball. It really is. And I'm with you. I don't get it. Because to me, he is absolutely movable. Not just because I think he'll be a good, solid. I think he's a good, solid pro and will be. But in terms of a difference maker, I don't see him as a Donovan Mitchell. I don't see him as a Ben Simmons. I don't see him as a Jason Tatum. Good player. But, yeah, if you can get Kawhi, absolutely you move him.
All right, so to carry this a bit further, and let's do the exercise we did yesterday so people understand. I've got Kevin Durant available. Would you trade Lonzo Ball? Kevin Durant, would you trade Lonzo Ball? I think you would. Steph Curry, he's sitting right here. We can get him. If you trade Lonzo Ball, would you trade him? Yeah, I think you would. Greek Freak, we can get him. Would you trade Lonzo Ball? Yeah, I think you would. Anthony Davis, we can get him. Would you trade Lonzo Ball? Yeah, I think you would. Ben Simmons, for some reason, Philadelphia doesn't want him anymore. We can get him. Would you trade Lonzo Ball? I think you would. The point here being this love of Lonzo Ball, yeah, he will be a very good NBA player. We can acknowledge that. But if you can improve yourself dramatically, anybody should be on the table if you're the Lakers. At this point in time, anybody. Look, Lonzo is a good player, not as advertised by his father. Understand, it was his father doing the advertising.
Zoe is magic with a jump shot.
He's magic with a jump shot.
Not rocket scientist.
He's not a rocket scientist, but he's magic with a jump shot.
He's not rocket scientist.
Zoe is magic with a jump shot.
He's magic. No, he's not. No,
yeah, he's not. I mean, the advertising came from his father. Understand that. Magic is trying to sell tickets. Understand that as well. Now, I'm not saying he can't play, and I'm not saying he wouldn't be a valuable addition to your team. But what I am saying, and you have to acknowledge this, if you can dramatically improve, you have to dramatically improve. And if that means trading Lonzo Ball, you trade him to get immensely better. What is this fascination? You don't care if Brandon Ingram is traded? That means nothing? Trade Brandon Ingram. That would be the one I'd go, wait a minute, stop, hold on. You can't move this guy. But Lonzo Ball, that's the guy that everybody's decided is untouchable.
Yeah, who missed a lot of games in which we saw Josh Hart come in and play pretty well. So definitely, you know, a guy that should be able to move. I don't, you know, and this whole fascination of getting drafted, being number two in the, you know, the in the draft. Look, if Philadelphia could move Markelle Fultz, number one pick in the draft, they would move him in a heartbeat. He didn't even play in the playoffs. Didn't even play. So this whole notion, oh, he's your number two pick. He's your first rounder, number two pick in the draft. You can't move him. No, absolutely you can. You've seen it. And if there's an opportunity to get one of these big-time free agents, yeah, you put it out there. Because you've got a good young nucleus right now. And if you bring in one or two of these guys and you have to give up some of your young guys, absolutely you do it.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you completely detonate your entire roster. I'm not saying, well, we'll give you six guys. But I am saying to get one of the premier players in the league and then you have to establish, is Kawhi Leonard one of those guys? There are superstars, there are stars, and there are Jags. The Jags are just a guy. They're pros, but they're not a star. And they're not a superstar. Are we of the opinion that Kawhi Leonard is a superstar? Are we of the opinion, we've seen this, by the way, we've witnessed it, but are we of the opinion that he can put somebody on his back and take them? I believe he can. And if that is the case, he is a superstar. And if you want to get a superstar and that availability occurs, you do what you can to pull the trigger. And if that means trading Lonzo Ball, that means trading Lonzo Ball. You also have to understand San Antonio may not want him. You must also understand nobody else may want him.
Yeah, but, you know, somebody will. Somebody will want him. I mean, I think his upside is much greater than what he possibly shown. And if you look at the numbers, he had a pretty good rookie year. He missed some games. But He's definitely a guy that you can throw into the mix if you're trying to get a LeBron James, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, that type of situation. And they said, no, we'll take Brandon Ingram, but we also want Lonzo Ball. Yeah, absolutely. And where do I sign? How do we make that transaction happen? Absolutely.
After Magic Johnson's rookie season, if somebody came and said, look, we'll send you this superstar, include Magic Johnson, you would have said absolutely not.
No
way. Kobe Bryant, and his rookie season was a rookie season. If somebody said, we'll send you this guy, include Kobe Bryant, you would have said no way. Because you could tell there was something special about them. There was something unique about them. They were going to stand out. Not because you were told they were going to stand out, but because they did. That's not the case here. So this love affair, love your Lakers, they're your team, but if your team can get better, are you telling me if your team could win an NBA title by trading Lonzo Ball, you would prefer not to win the title, but keep Lonzo Ball? It's not about winning anymore, it's about keeping him. Because if you want to win, you do what you have to. So I wanted to clear that up because people yesterday were going, you could never do that.
Well, they just thought you were trying to just trade Lonzo just to trade Lonzo, just to get him out of here. But that's not the case.
That's not what I said.
It was always about getting Kawhi, getting a Paul George, getting somebody that you are with especially with Kawhi because it's a trade situation, getting him, and what would you give up? And if Lonzo had to be in that mix, absolutely you give him up.
Thank you. Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah.
You spoke 22 seconds, but thank you for clearing that entire... You were very succinct in that.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it. When we come back, this is something every man needs to know. It could change your life. And we'll have the man that created it coming on. Plus, stay with us during the break. We've got Dodger tickets. Fred Rogan, Rodney Peete, AM 570 LA Sports. All right, Russ in Westlake Village. You're on AM 570 LA Sports. How you doing, Russ?
Good. How about you?
Good, thank you. Congratulations. You want a pair of Dodger tickets. How about that?
Heck yeah.
You're going June 29th to see the Rockies. The band Dead & Company will perform before the game in Friday Night Fireworks. featuring a Grateful Dead mix presented by Denny's will happen afterwards. For more information, visit Dodgers.com/deadandcompany.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. We appreciate you listening to the program and the radio station. Now let's put a grand in somebody's hand.
And answer the phone. Somebody calls you. It's unknown. You don't know it. You don't recognize the number. You don't know who it is. Answer the phone. That's the only way you can win is if you answer the phone. If you don't answer the phone, it's going to somebody else. Answer the phone.
Answer the phone. All right, last night on Channel 4, we ran something, and it got a lot of reaction. You know, Yadier Molina of the Cardinals is out, basically.
Ouch!
Yeah. After he was hit right in the crotch and the cup with a 102-mile-an-hour foul tip.
Mm.
Now, if you've ever caught, you know how painful that is, and you know the importance of wearing a cup. Even though he was wearing the cup, he still suffered the injury. Well, we found a company, and the Cardinals have ordered a number of these now called Nutshells. That's what it's called. And it's made out of bulletproof material. To prove the bulletproof material works, they had somebody with a gun get down and fire a bullet into another man's crotch wearing the Nutshells. This is what it sounded like.
My name's Jeremiah Raber, president and CEO of Nutshells, LLC. When it comes to our customers' safety, we take product testing very seriously. Don't try this at home.
Are we ready?
No through and through penetration. We're all good.
Oh, Jesus, thank you.
That was nuts!
Oh. I can't believe I just shot you in the balls, man.
It took balls to do this.
Joining us now, the man that was shot, Jeremiah Raber, the CEO of Nutshells. Jeremiah, thanks for jumping on.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Jeremiah, are you okay?
I'm just checking, man.
Are you all right? Because I don't know many guys that would allow themselves to be shot in the nuts.
It wasn't something that I was looking forward to, but I felt guilty that I was offering a product that I claim is bullet resistant and not have stood behind it, you know? So it probably wasn't the brightest thing. But it was for that reason that, you know, I am willing to stand behind my product to show, you know, that it works.
Yeah. What kind of gun was he firing?
So it looked a lot more intimidating than it really was. It was a AR style rifle, but it's a 22 long rifle bullet.
Hey, Jeremiah, I saw the footage, man, and you had to have a lot of trust in whoever was behind the gun. Because yeah. I saw you also had a vest on, but there was a little area that was actually exposed that you also had. So the trust level that you had was unbelievable. And first of all, who was the rifleman or the guy that was shooting you, and where did that come from? Because I would have been head to toe in your product.
The rifleman was my ex-business partner. Yeah, and he grew up hunting. You know, we've shot hundreds of these things. The rifle was sighted in. We were 18 feet away. I had multiple panels that were strategically placed, you know, like under my pants just in case, even though I was confident in, you know, his ability. So there were precautions taken. You know, something funny is my wife didn't want this to happen, but she was there. She's one of the gal that was laughing on the video. As soon as it was done, she's like, "That looked too easy. You need to try a higher caliber." I'm like, "Get out of here. You're freaking kidding me."
All right. So now we know Major League umpires wear them. Police officers wear them. Major League clubs have ordered them. What do you make these cups out of?
So the Level 1 Sports model is made out of carbon fiber and ballistic grade Kevlar. So that will stop up to a .45 ACP pistol or, you know, baseball, hockey, cricket, all about 6-ounce projectiles traveling upwards of, you know, 100, 105 miles an hour. The Level 2 is kind of leans more towards police and military. It has a material at the core called Dyneema, which is ultra-high molecular weight polyethylene, and that can stop a higher velocity threat, you know, up to like a 9mm.
And what if I just walked up and hit you in the crotch with a sledgehammer? Would it stop that?
It would stop. I imagine the force might break my pelvis.
How many of these are you selling?
Quite a few. Just in the past few days, I mean, I'm seriously just trying to keep my head above water. It's been kind of crazy.
Hey, how does somebody decide, you know what? I think I'll go into the cup business. You're sitting around, you go, oh, yeah. Maybe I'll start making cups for people.
Right. It's not something you grow up thinking I'm going to do. I live in St. Louis, or kind of High Ridge, Missouri. There's a guy named Matt Hughes. He was the all-time winningest welterweight fighter in the UFC.
I know Matt Hughes, absolutely. Talented fighter.
Yes. He was amazing in his day. I mean, he still is. But he fought George St. Pierre for a second time, defending his title against George St. Pierre. George St. Pierre kicked him two inside leg kicks. They both slid up. Each one it hit his junk. He was given time to recover, but, in the third time back into the ring, he started dropping his hands because George threw that inside leg kick. This time it didn't go up. But what would you do? You know, you're going to expect the same thing that just happened twice to happen again. Dropped his hands, got drilled a couple times, and ended up losing that match. So having kickboxed for like 10 years prior, I just, that instant, I'm like, man, I was so pissed that I was thinking there's got to be a cup that wraps further underneath. So that's where it all started. It has a Nutshells has a narrower taper that allows it to slide further between the legs and not impede movement like from roundhouse kicks, ice skating, crossovers, or running. So it started there, just a more ergonomic cup that doesn't impede movement. And then I just was in the right place at the right time with the right people and started learning about these ballistic materials and then started incorporating them. And lo and behold, that's what we have now.
I'll tell you, first, we appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
It's really a great product. As a matter of fact, I'll start wearing one every day sitting
yes,
here.
Yes, because I'm going to kick him
yeah,
on a regular
and I
basis.
Be ready. Every day.
Just so you, yeah, and I got a couple baseball players, so I'm going to have to order some from you as well.
That sounds great. You know, speaking of that, like, I'm always afraid if someone will recognize me and just come up and try to kick me and see if I'm wearing it. So far, it hasn't happened yet, but, I don't know.
Lay low, my friend.
Yes.
Lay low. Just count the money. Jeremiah, thanks for jumping on. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, there he goes. Jeremiah Raber, the CEO.
Wow.
Of Nutshells. Let's go, Vic.
Come on now. Rodney.
Come on now.
It's time for Good Call.
Keep up the good work, guys.
Bad Call.
I may have to hang up on him.
Gentlemen, good call or bad call for the Raptors general manager to call the firing of Dwayne Casey a celebration. The Raptors officially fired head coach Dwayne Casey earlier today after they lost in their second round series to the Cleveland Cavaliers for the third straight season. And Raptors GM Masai Ujiri spoke to the media just moments ago and said, quote, "In some instances, I think of this as a celebration. Great man, great coach. Difficult decision to come to. It's not something we took very lightly." Now, oftentimes you have funeral services, you call it a celebration of life. And I believe that's probably what Masai was going for, but maybe not the greatest choice of words when talking about it's a celebration when a man just lost his job. And by the way, Masai also said that Casey deserved to win the Coach of the Year, which kind of goes against the reason why you would fire him. But anyway, good call or bad call to say that Dwayne Casey's firing was a celebration, Fred?
Well, first, he's going to make $6.5 million next year for not coaching.
Oh, why did got a money got to come into it, Fred? Damn.
Second of all, theoretically, it's a bad call.
Yeah.
I mean, hey, congratulations. You mean so much to me. Never come in here and look at me again. You're fired.
But give me your key card.
Yeah, give me your key card. But we're celebrating what you did here. But really, that's the way things work today. I mean, unless you've done something unceremonious where they just boot you, they always send you off like, we feel so bad. This is a terrible thing we have to do. You know what? I worked for somebody at Channel 4 years ago. Carol Black was her name. Brilliant. Brilliant. And at one time, headed up parts of Disney. So, I mean, she's really smart. And just a great person. And when she had to fire somebody, you know, you're obviously so upset. She would cry. When you walked out of there, you would feel bad for her. Even though she just fired you. She was crying. That's pretty good management.
That's a pro right there.
Yeah, that's a pro.
How about you, Rodney?
Oh, it's a horrible call to celebrate somebody getting fired. I don't care what level, what time, what place. You don't celebrate somebody losing their job. And it doesn't matter how much money somebody's going to make or how much left they have on their contract. Firing is firing. Losing your job is losing your job. And for someone to say that they're celebrating that is absolutely ridiculous. It's the reason why Toronto is Toronto. Because they got the wrong guy running the show up there. They got Coach of the Year. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that they had to run into Cleveland and LeBron for the last 3 years. Everybody lost to LeBron over the last 3 years.
Everybody should be fired.
Everybody in the East should be fired then, if that's the case. I mean, he did have the best record in the East, but he ran up against LeBron. And how many coaches ran up against LeBron and lost? Are we going to fire everybody that loses to the Cavaliers over the last, what, 5, 6 years? Or LeBron over this last 7 years? It's absolutely ridiculous that he's fired and be Coach of the Year. And then on top of that, for him to celebrate that, it's ridiculous.
Vic? A grotesque use of words by the Toronto Raptors general manager. This franchise was in the abyss, was in the cellar, the toilet, until Casey came in and transformed this team. You know, it's the best record in the East, Coach of the Year. To call it a celebration is insane. You celebrate seven excellent years of Dwayne Casey. But it's not a celebration, you fire him. You celebrate the fact he put you on the freaking map, Toronto. Stop smoking with Drake.
That's free smoke, too. You're hanging with Drake. That's how they do
it. Well, Drake is good stuff, I'll tell you that.
Good call or bad call for the Dodgers to trade away prospect DJ Peters to improve the roster. A couple of publications came out earlier today and suggested that the Dodgers trade away some of their top prospects, including DJ Peters, to try to make improvements to their bullpen and or their starting staff. One of the names that came up was former Rookie of the Year with the Detroit Tigers, Michael Fulmer, currently carrying a 3.51 ERA and is under team control through 2023. So that would intrigue this Dodger front office that obviously likes to be very strategic when it comes to how much they pay to their top players. So good call or bad call to trade away one of their top prospects, DJ Peters, to try to improve their roster either in the starting staff or in the bullpen. Rodney.
Oh, you know, desperate times call for desperate measures, unfortunately. So right now the Dodgers are scrambling. And so I think it's a good call. You got to do what it takes. You know, you're trying to salvage the season. It's still May. It's early. Look, we were talking Manny Machado last week and what's going to happen with him and who would you give up for that? So anything to try to right this ship, I think you got to do. And I know the Dodgers take a lot of pride in their farm system and their prospects. But at some point, you got to try to right this ship this year.
Fred?
I think it's a bad call.
Okay.
If this guy is one of your top guys, let's go back to last year in the great Yu Darvish move. They gave up Willie Calhoun. Now, Willie Calhoun was projected as one of their top guys, but not the top guy. All right, at that point in time, you had to give something to get something at the time. They moved Calhoun. Truth is, for Texas this year, okay. Not setting the world on fire. I don't think you give up your very top guys. I don't think you mortgage the future. But I do think, in your projections, if the guy that they want, okay, you know, maybe, I would move him. But your top guys, no, I would not do it.
Vic?
Bad call. You don't freak out. It's so early in the season. Yes, the Dodgers are playing schlocky hardball. You've heard from Dave Roberts the frustration, the exasperation in his voice. He'll turn around so early. Yes, there's so many flaws right now in the collective, but the collective will turn it all around when the boys all come back from injury. Red Samurai, Justin Turner will be back in a week. The injury to 22 to Clayton with the biceps is not that bad. The bullpen will turn around. Alexander's going to find some form. I got confidence in the ball club, confidence in the philosophy. I'm not going to freak out after 36, 37 games.
Peters, for people who don't know, their top outfield prospect currently with 5 home runs, batting .283 in Double A.
Mm.
Good call or bad call for the NFL to dictate what jerseys their teams wear. Rams CEO Kevin Dimoff says the team asked the NFL for permission to wear their blue and yellow throwback jerseys more often this upcoming season because that's what the fans love. That's what the fans want. But because it's not the Rams' official week in, week out jersey of choice that they submit to the NFL, the league will not allow them to wear their alternates any more than twice in the regular season, despite the fact that they polled the city, they polled the fans, and they're telling the NFL, this is what our fans want. The NFL apparently are not relenting on that. They will not allow the Rams to wear those jerseys more than twice in the upcoming season. Is it a good call or a bad call for the National Football League to dictate what jerseys their individual teams decide to wear on a week-in, week-out basis, Fred?
Yeah, it's a good call because they have to. There has to be some sort of structure. You just can't show up and wear whatever you want. Today I'll wear green. You can't do that. I mean, they have to have some sort of structure. Although I'll say this. If the Rams, according to what you said, if the Rams had told the NFL our official uniforms are going to be blue and gold, then they could have worn those all the time.
Correct.
All right. I'm the only person in town that doesn't like those. I don't like when they wear them. I like the blue and whites. Just the blue and white.
So way back, the Deacon Jones blue and whites.
Those are the ones I like. Those are the ones I hope they go with when they go to Inglewood and get rid of that gold. But yeah, the league has to have some sort of organization. You just can't show up wearing shorts.
Well, I know the way it works in basketball and Major League Baseball may be the same. The home team has the choice to decide what jerseys they wear, and the road team just has to adjust what jerseys they bring with them. I don't know if there's a mandated one night or the other or what you have to wear more often than not, at least that I am aware of. So the home team normally picks what jerseys are being worn. Rodney?
Yeah, that's a good call. And you're right. The home team does pick. I mean, if the home team wants to wear white at home, they get to wear white, and the other team's got to wear the colors. So it's all up to the home team and what they want to wear. But the NFL's right. You got to pick your uniform. And you can't just wear something willy-nilly and do a poll with the fans and say, oh, no, we want to wear the blue and gold instead of the white. Whatever is your official uniform, you got to wear that at least 6 times at home. And I think that's the rule. You got to wear that the majority of the time. You know, we've got throwbacks, we've got all that stuff, but there's got to be an official uniform that fans can go out and buy. And I think that's where the NFL is coming down on, is that what is the official Rams jersey that they're going with? And that's what we're selling because it makes a lot of money. But if they're changing, you know, week to week, it doesn't work for sales in terms of the NFL. So pick a color, pick a uniform, stick with it, petition the NFL. That's what you want to do. Do it the right way. But the NFL is absolutely right. You got to stick with the right uniform.
Vic?
Give the people what they want. If they want the throwback uniforms, give it to them. Yeah. They're the ones who will be paying thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to put their tuckuses in the Taj Mahal of the Hood in Inglewood when it's complete in 2020. You give the people what they want, NFL. Get your heads out of your tuckuses.
Hey, guys, I got one today.
Is it okay if I got one today?
Tell it.
It's been about 3 weeks now. Good call or bad call for us to change up the music and go with my guy G-Eazy over Drake?
Rodney?
I like Drake. It was Fred. Fred and Fred's Army that wanted to change it up. I thought the Drake was good for me. I love G-Eazy. I really do.
Fat beat.
But I love the Drake. It was good for me. So either one worked for me, but I didn't necessarily feel bad about what was going on when we had Drake going. It was all Fred.
Fred, how about you?
Oh, good call.
Yeah,
good call. I like
surprised.
His music.
Hey, you like G-Eazy, Fred?
You've always been a G-Eazy guy.
Yeah, you know how I am.
I can listen to this for hours.
You're right. I didn't mind Drake. I didn't know if it just worked in this particular segment. I think this works really well.
You like this, though, Vic?
I love it.
All right, well, then give me some harmonizing here. Ready? You got the beats up here, Kevin?
I just let the beats flow through my system.
I don't like where this is going right now. If I hear one time, then I like her. Mm-hmm. If I hear two times, then I like her. Is it time for the safe for the white?
All right. Listen.
All right, now we have to change the music again, Kevin, after that.
It's the beat, not the lyric.
The lyrics were great, too, weren't they? The vocals?
The lyrics are fine, but the beat is what carries us. This is the strength of the entire...
The beat is not for noontime radio.
This is the essence.
The lyrics are not good for noontime radio.
No, but the beat is forever.
The beat is forever.
Yeah, the lyrics you got to say for safe harbor time.
Exactly.
Yeah, late night. Exactly. That's good call, bad call, Fred.
All right, good call today, Kevin. Jason, bad call.
Bad call, Jason. Don't ever get on again.
Bill Plaschke is in with Matt, and they're next on AM 570 LA Sports.